Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. It is good to be back with you this morning from being away. I had time with my family and also was at a stewardship conference, so I had some continuing ed time. So I felt like really prepared for this sermon today about barns. In fact, at the conference, we had a lot of speakers, about three every day for about 3 days, and every one of those speakers is a leader in a congregation of some kind. And they were all really bold about how they talked about money and stuff within their congregations. And so it got me to think about our barns, the things that we store up. And I'm thinking about living in Hawaii and how we have such small places usually, right? And I thought about, for a moment, having all of us raise our hands who have a storage unit here in Hawaii. And then I thought, I won't convict us right away. So you can keep your hands down. But frankly, I don't actually think that this is about building barns or even about convicting us for having stuff. This text is about something deeper and I think a little bit more difficult and also a little bit more profound. It's a tough one. It's a fun story to work with, the Gospel of Luke here, but it's a difficult one. I think it's clear to us as we discuss what we have. It's a bigger question about what gives us meaning. What gives us meaning and purpose and a deep sense of God's presence in our lives? Now, I don't think the man is being convicted by Jesus in this parable because of his stuff. According to what Jesus talks about, I don't think it's the stuff and the man's accumulation of it, of his crops in this case, that is necessarily sinful or wrong or just plain bad. Gosh, what's wrong about building bigger barns, right? Like, I mean, let's talk about how many churches are building bigger churches or different properties or how many of us have built a home so that we have more space to have our stuff in. In fact, we live in a culture and in a society where the goal of our world is the accumulation of goods. We live in an ownership society, a society that tells us it's good to have things. In fact, a good stewardship plan, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, our stewardship kind of conversation with the kids especially, I remember having a bank that was three sections: share, save, and spend. How many of you had a bank like that? Right? Like, we had these banks. And so there's a saving part of our good stewardship mindset where we're called to have a balance of all of those things. So the kick or the twist in this parable today about the man and his barns and his crops, I think, is that success isn't the issue. Wealth isn't the issue. It's something more hidden and deeper and more complicated. I think it is that the fact that this guy in the story seems to see the whole world and all of his stuff as his and only his. And it is from his stuff, his barns, that he's filled to the brim, that he tries to draw wholeness and the meaning of his life. In fact, his world is so isolated and so self-focused that the only person he has to speak to about his stuff is who? Himself. Did you catch the story? It's hysterical and sad at the same time. He says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." My friends, he speaks to his soul. In a way, this man, I think it's sad because he's already dead. Because he's already so isolated, so alone. And I think that's the crux of it all. The point of the story here for me this week. The fact of how isolated and individualistic this person in the story has become. The only person in the entire universe he has to speak to is himself. And then Jesus also puts out there the idea about being rich towards God. Being rich towards God. And I do think that that can mean a variety of things throughout our lives. But in the context of this story, for me this week, the takeaway is that God calls us to a deeper meaning and a sense of our world than just the things that we surround ourselves with. We're not here only to think about ourselves and our storage units and our stuff. We're here to think about how our stuff aids another, about how our belongings can share love and care for another. How can our barns bring about healing and wholeness in a really broken world? Problem isn't in this story that the man has a lot of stuff, but it is that he doesn't seem to have any use for it beyond himself. I don't think that God hates wealth. I don't think God hates those who succeed and do well. But I do think that God really doesn't like it when that wealth is misused, or where wealth that is completely individualized and isn't shared and squandered or rotten away. I mean, think about it. How long would it take for him to use all of the stuff in his barn? It would rot by the time he could eat it all. Now, there are reasons we store up, right? There's reasons we save. In fact, I think it's a good use of our resources to share and to save and to spend. The saving has a purpose. It's an important value, especially in hard times, and there are always going to be people who need help, those who need a little extra boost in a difficult time. Those of us who have been able to save can share in those difficult times. As Jesus warned in this passage, though, he said, "Be on guard to all kinds of greed. The temptation of wealth is the illusion that we're self-sufficient. You need no one. You have enough in your bank account. You need nothing else other than what you already own. You have enough stuff that you'll be okay all on your own." And I think that leads ultimately to the belief that you also don't need God because you have it taken care of. That's when we become like this man in the story, the fool who isn't rich towards God. Be on guard for all kinds of greed. Be on guard for the things that capture your heart and your imagination and draw you away from God rather than draw you nearer and closer to God. Beware of those things that offer you false and empty comfort, those things that never seem to be quite enough. One of the preachers that I follow for my own soul's benefit is called Barbara Brown Taylor. You probably have heard of her. And she has these wonderful sermons about stewardship. And one of the ones that caught my eye this past week was one that she wrote for a congregation that she used to serve in North Carolina. And in the sermon, she talked about happiness and the happiness that she got from buying a brand new set of cookware. You know it. We laugh because we know. When we buy something we really love, it kind of brings us a sense of giddiness or happiness. She loves to host. They have this beautiful home in the Carolinas, and she loves to host and cook for friends. And so she was so excited with this brand new set of pots and pans and how it would make her cooking and hosting so much better. But then she said, and I quote, "When I wake up in the middle of the night and cannot go back to sleep for all of the fears that are taking turns sitting on my chest, it never occurs to me to get up and bring my 13-inch frying pan into bed with me." Right? The frying pan, the stuff in our storage units, the closets that we have filled to the brim, they never will bring us happiness. We will never feel fulfilled because of the stuff around us. It's just never going to happen. I think the biggest illusion in the story today is the man thinks of himself as self-sufficient, that he's got it all worked out. But in reality, he's depending on a whole heck of a lot in order to acquire what's in his barn. I mean, this is an agricultural story, right? Those of you who are from agrarian cultures, you know everything about your crops relies upon the weather. And how much control do we have over the weather? Not to mention the people that work on his farm or the animals that he has to work on his farm. He thinks he can do it on his own, but he has so much that he relies on. The success isn't his alone, actually. So the question for this man and for us is, where is it that we find meaning? Where is it that we feel fulfilled? This man doesn't even notice the amazing gift of so many people around him that aid in his wealth. And he doesn't even see the possibility of how his wealth and his big old barn can serve so many, feed so many. Instead, it's going to rot away without having been used. So, my friends, the question for today is, how, as a part of a community, can we find meaning? Where is it that your heart lies? Where is it that you feel fulfilled? And how is God present in the midst of that? And I think the gift we have of this passage is we have the opportunity all the time to reorient ourselves about where it is that we find meaning. We don't have to wait for a crisis or a time of sort of worry and wonder. But we can do it at all times. Reorient ourselves. Where is it that you find meaning? God desires that deep, close relationship with you, not your stuff or your storage unit or your barn. Amen.